Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Have you ever thought a workout wasn't for you because you didn't look a certain way? If you've ever sized yourself up against the strong and self-assured looking people in the weights room or at the front of a spin class, found yourself lacking, and then talked yourself out of getting stuck in, I would implore you to listen in closely to today's episode, because today's guest gets it. Hey, welcome back to Going for Goal, the Women's Health Podcast. I'm your host, Roisin Dervish-O'Kane. This series, powered by Nike, we're exploring running and all the amazing things that it can do for you. Nike run coaches will be on hand with all the tips and tactics you need to create your own running practice or elevate an existing one, whether you're around the park plodder right now or after a new 10k PB. But running is about so much more than putting one foot in front of the other. And if you've not yet been alerted to just how transformative it can be, it's time to strap in and prepare to be inspired as I speak to some truly impressive women about why they run. Today it's the turn of Dora Atim, Nike run coach, youth mentor and founder of Ultra Black Running, a trail running collective for black women and non-binary people. Remember what I was saying about body image? At 18, battling body dysmorphia and convinced her body's curves precluded her from being an athlete, my friendly yet formidable guest never would have imagined that running, of all things, would prove the conduit for finding not only self-acceptance, but self-love, and that she'd feel her most empowered and embodied while donning bright lycra on a run, rather than at a rave. In today's episode, she shares that evolution and what she's doing to pass it on to the next generation. She also shares the moment that inspired her to form Ultra Black Running, a moment in the summer of 2020 when many in black communities worldwide were struggling with the collective trauma following the murders of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery. It was a moment where she learned, in a very visceral way, that for black women and non-binary people to enjoy the nourishing power of rural areas, a community or a safe space needed to be formed. Somewhere for feelings of freedom, healing and joy to grow. Let's meet Dora. Dora Atim, hello and welcome to the Women's Health Podcast, Going for Goal.
Amazing. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Same. How are you doing today?
I'm good. A little like sweaty and, you know, rushing around, but I'm all good now. Like
a very busy woman.
Yeah.
A woman who wears many hats. So we're chatting to you today in your role as a Nike run coach.
Yeah, so one of my hats includes me being a coach for Nike Running, which is super exciting, but I wear multiple, which we'll obviously get into, but yeah.
Talk to me about those. Talk to me, what's in your hat collection?
In my hat collection, so, you know, Nike Run coach, I'm also a coach for young kids, so I work with young kids as well in schools. I'm also a youth mentor, so I do a bit of that. And, you know, vibe bringer, you know, cheerleader, you know, whatever you want. That's me.
Server.
Yeah, you know. So yeah, all really purposeful things, but just all through movement, I guess.
So what I really want to know is about your running journey. So how did you get to where you are now? When did you get the bug?
So do you know what, my running journey is always one that I'm super excited to speak about because it was kind of accidental. And I actually, back then, it was a few years ago, I hated running. I didn't like, my perception of running was very different to what it is today. You know, I thought I had to be like super lean and skinny and look a certain way and run super fast. So I always like kind of just backed away from that. And that's mainly, you know, what I've, because obviously what I've consumed as a child, like always watching like marathons on TV and stuff. So I'm like, that's running for me, or like school, you're like, when you say to someone, oh yeah, we're going to run, it's like either I'm too tired because I can't run for a bus, or I think back to school when I had to run a sports day.
How was that for you?
Do you know what? I didn't actually hate it that much in school, but I wasn't at a level to take it seriously or anything. So I think it was just kind of like, and it was just like pee. So yeah, sport wasn't actually massive in my upbringing unless it was in school. So it's interesting where I am today. But running for me started, I was invited to a boxing class with a friend, and it was kind of like the I was like 18 or 19, you know, body dysmorphia was like well and truly, you know, made themselves at home. And I was like, okay, I might just try this out. And it also, it's still a bit nerve-wracking because you're like in a gym and you're like, oh, everyone is like super fit and they look a certain way. But I tried it out and it was really good. And the coach then invited us down to keep training with him. And I was like, this is incredible. So I caught the boxing bug. And then I wanted to obviously become better, and the coach suggested to start running. And then, like, I just remember the feeling. I was just like, oh, this is where it ends. I was like, this is where it literally ends, because, okay, no more boxing because I'm not running. Like, I'm not doing it. But it was mainly my own fears and, like, because obviously perceptions. I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I'm so unfit. Bearing in mind, I've been, like, training for months. And I was like, I'm not fit to start running and all that kind of stuff. But after a few weeks, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to have to try and just see what happens. And for me, running was always late at night because I was so embarrassed. I was like, what if someone sees me like struggling or like I'm out of breath at traffic light? But I wanted to streets to be empty, so if I needed to stop and catch my breath, like no one would see. And also, I just didn't feel right in my body as well. So it was just a whole mixture of things. And I was just really trying to connect with running, but I wasn't. So I was like, you know what? If I run for like 5-10 minutes, no one's like, who's going to tell me off for not running longer than that? And then even so, like, who's timekeeping? Who's telling me I have to run a certain amount of time? So I just gave it a go. It was like 5-10 minutes. It was interesting, I'd say. I was living in West London at the time, so it was quite like hilly, near like Notting Hill. So I was like, oh, why do I choose here? But I, there's something in me that was like, you know, just, it's a new thing, so just keep trying. And it was always late at night. It was never like during the day, because I was so embarrassed, and it's just crazy to think of that to this day. But I just kept going, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna have to just give it a good shot. So I love house music. So I remember like setting a playlist and put it on my iPod.
What was on it?
It was so Nike Run Club app, and then the playlist was like Ministry of Deep House.
Oh,
and
yes.
And I still have some of the songs on my running playlist to this day, because I'm just like, yeah. And I love raving. So raving is a huge part of my life. And it's how I kind of like, I don't really rave that much anymore, because obviously like post-COVID, I'm like, where are the clubs?
yeah, quite.
So now I just like, it's in my head when I'm running. So I'm just, I just think of like that. So I put the playlist on and I just went for it. And I just remember going, you know, just do as much as you can. Just do as much as you can and just see. And I remember running 30-40 minutes towards like Hyde Park, straight road. Managed to get to Marble Arch, saw the time, freaked out, and I was like, my family are going to absolutely rip me to shreds because it's so late at night. So I was like, don't stop, just turn around and go home. And I remember getting back to Shepherd's Bush, and my app was like, you've run 10 kilometers. And I was like, what? 10k without stopping. And I was like, that is crazy to me, because I'm not a runner and I don't really like it, and I don't really see myself being a runner. So I was so like, the sense of achievement was incredible, but it was still like, you know, what's kind of next? I don't really know what to do with this. Continue to box, but then there was something like, oh, you should keep the running thing, because that was quite a big achievement, and I didn't really shout about it that much. So you know what? Long story short, I forgot about boxing. Sad. Sorry, Coach Floyd. And then I just kept running, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to build myself up to run with someone or run with a group. And at the time, there was a Nike Run Club in Westfield. And I remember their Vault t-shirts, like the Pacer t-shirts, and I love bright colours. So I was like, oh, that looks really fun. I'm going to go. took me weeks to build the confidence because I was going through that whole like, but these people look really fit. These are like runners, you know.
So the body dysmorphia was playing into your confidence, even
back,
though you knew that you could run a 10K.
Yeah, so it's all coming back again. And I was just like, oh my God, what is this? Anyway, cousin of mine dragged me to the store and pushed me in. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm here now. I have to do it. And did the run. I was like the slowest at the back. It was hard. Everyone was talking about like, oh, I'm doing a half marathon. Oh, I'm doing a PB. And I was like, what's a half marathon? And what does PB mean? It was honestly like a whole new world. But everyone was, even though I felt like really rubbish, everyone was so nice. Everybody was so nice. And I was just like, oh, this is okay. I'll keep going. And then I was just like, what is even a 5K race? But then there was one in Hackney at the time for free. And I was like, sign up, YOLO. Sign up with a friend. Friend cancelled on the day.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, I can't believe I have to run this race on my own, which I did. And it was incredible. Had a good time. But it was very scary because these are like hundreds and thousands of people. And I'm by myself. And I was just like, okay, I'm not doing that again. But I started to feel a bit more like accomplished. I was like, okay, this feels like, I feel like I'm finding myself in this sport now.
Mm.
Even though I knew, like, I'm not going to be in the Olympics. And I'm not here to break any records. And I actually started to forget about what I looked like. Like, it's not about weight loss. It's not about looking a certain way. I started to actually forget about that a bit. Because it's the way it was making me feel. And obviously, like, I can bring my music aspect into it and the way I dress into it. So I was like, this is fun. What's the next race? So I was like, what can you do after 5K? Can you do, like, 6K? And it was like, no, it's 5, 10 or half. And I was like, okay, I know I can run 10K. So actually it was a Nike Women's 10K. So Nike been in my life for a long time.
Since the start.
Since the beginning. So Nike Women's 10K, and it's all women. And there was like a training journey. So it was nice to meet other women. And the thing was is that there were so many different body shapes and all of that. And I was like, wow, okay. Some people have never actually run before as well. I'm not the only one that hasn't run ever or is like super new to the sport. So I was like, oh, this is not bad. Race day came. It was scary. It was hard. But I kept saying, you know, you've run 10K before. You can get through this course. Did that. And I was like, oh, this is incredible. I actually remember feeling like, oh, actually, yeah, I'm a runner. If someone asked me, I'd be like, yeah, I'm a runner. So I've always had a passion for educating. I've always wanted to be a teacher since I was a child. I've always wanted to teach. Then obviously as I grew, I just started coaching kids from like the age of 16. So it was more like after school clubs, sports, more like physical activity, just like things for kids to do in their spare time. And that was what I was doing. There was no real kind of goal with it because I just loved it. Mm. I knew, I was like, I'm going to go and studied to become a teacher at some point, but it didn't happen. And then I found my passion through running. And what I started to find is that all the little lessons that I was learning from running, I was bringing into my work. As I developed as a coach, I then found youth mentoring. And then running really started to play a massive role. Because, you know, you can tell young, you can tell teenagers to run. They'll probably be like, but I was telling them about the lessons. And even of things around like body image and what sport can do for you, not necessarily in sport, what sport can do for you in life. And obviously I caught the running bug. So I signed up to like all the half marathons, all the marathons. I also love to travel. So I've traveled and done marathons all over the place. But again, those lessons I can bring.
So that journey from your 10K, the Nike Women's 10K, how soon did it take you then to go from that to running a marathon?
A couple of months. Well, I think it was like 6 months later, I was like, I'm going to try and train for a half marathon.
Yeah.
And that was very scary because you're like, this is double the distance and this is now like unknown territory. I don't know.
Very different ballgame.
Yeah. These runs are looking longer than an hour. I'm like, what's going on here? So that was like, okay, I really need to tap into getting support and I actually don't know what I'm doing. So it takes you back into that scary place again. But I stuck to it because I'm like, you know what, it's left, right, repeat. Like, you know, what else do I need to be doing? So that was a real journey because it's kind of lonely as well because none of my friends were really, you know, training with me to do a half marathon.
Were you raving with them?
we were absolutely raving. And I was like, do you know what? I've got a long run tomorrow, so I'm leaving early. Or it was like, you kind of having to start moving things around your social life. And that's when it became hard, because it's sort of like, oh, how bad do I really want this?
But you know, didn't manage to convince them, even with your Deep House Ministry
even
playlist.
With that, no one was convinced, you know, to this day.
I loved what you were saying there about how running almost helped you feel at home in your own body and in within yourself at a really weird transitional time. Don't think anyone enjoys being 19, do they?
No.
Like, it's a hard yeah. time. So much pressure to be having fun. You feel weird in your body. You feel weird in your life. I want to move you on slightly to talk about the amazing community that you've built with Ultra Black Running. Can you tell me a bit about what it is and why you set it up?
Yeah, so Ultra Black Running is a collective basically designed for black women and non-binary people to basically feel and live their best selves through trail running and being in the outdoors. And it's specific to trail and outdoors and all of that, mainly because of where it came from and how it was brought to life. So
tell me about that.
For me, obviously we all experienced the traumatic Black Lives Matter movement and the death of George Floyd and even Ahmaud Arbery. And for me, that was a really, I was grieving at the time. Like, I was like, I don't really know what to take of it all. And I think because the entire world was watching and listening and talking, I was like, I feel very seen, like, and it's, and I was like, I don't really know how society. I just feel very seen. I feel like I've been stripped open, and I was also staying in the countryside at the time, so that all I had was like either running near the dual carriageway or running in the trails. And I was like, and people drive differently in the countryside, so I was like, I'm gonna stick to the trails. And obviously, nature is so beautiful, and especially when you're outside of London, there's lots of it. Even in London, but at the time I was far away, so I was like, oh, this is quite nice. And it's completely, I don't know it. Like, I don't know these areas. I was born and raised in London. I don't know what this is. So I played around in the trails for a bit. And then, you know, I was still going through all those feelings and trying to process those emotions. And for me, it was quite difficult, because at the time when I was out for runs, you know, I had people stopping me and asking what I'm doing. And I'm like, you know, I feel like the timing, first of all, is incorrect. Like, get the timings right, read the room. There's a global uprising, sweetie. Like, this is not a time to stop me. And I also feel like it's a bit rude, because you'll stop it. You can physically see me running and you stop me. And I think, oh, maybe they're asking for directions or something. But it's, oh, like, what are you doing? And to be honest, maybe some people meant no harm by it, but for me, it was a lot. And
almost saying that, inferring, you shouldn't be here.
Right.
You shouldn't be in these green pastoral spaces of the country which you're a citizen of.
Yeah. You know, you feel, oh, okay, maybe I don't belong in these spaces. And I started to really suffer with bad anxiety during that time. And I actually stopped running for a little while. And if I did go out for a run, it'd probably be like 20 minutes or so until I felt those feelings again, or even saw another person. I'd probably be like, oh, okay, just run on the other side. Like, you find yourself doing things just so nobody thinks you are doing something wrong. It's not that, oh, maybe I don't piss somebody off. It's, I don't want to, you know, annoy anybody. And that's, then I look back, that's such a crazy way to feel and think.
Absolutely. And was this when you were in the countryside, or is this when you were back in London? Did that
feeling
persist? This
was in the countryside, and I was like, I kind of just want to go back to London now. This is probably why I won't ever leave London, because, you know, it's my little safe space. But then, you know, I remember, I don't know what the moment was, but I was like, whatever. I just remember, like, at the time where I was not running much, I was just sort of like listening to music and finding new playlists, finding new albums. And, you know, I would say hyper visible on the internet as people who are like in the running space. And
it's a real tight knit community,
yeah,
isn't it? And super,
right?
Super engaged.
Yeah. And at the time, I didn't even want to talk to anybody, because, you know, you have loads of people reaching out, asking about running. Lots of people took up running during lockdown, which is incredible. Incredible. But I still felt like I just don't want to talk about it because I'm going through it at the moment. But, you know, I was just like, it actually helped me. People reaching out who, like, were really stuck on how to get running or what they want to do, it really did help me push through those like horrendous moments.
Did it remind you that you had something to give?
Yeah. So I was like, do you know what? No, this is why you're doing it. You're like, you know, this is what you're doing. This is your life's work. This is you educating young Dora who wanted to be a teacher. You're now educating, right? So I was like, I'm just going to have to keep running. Like, if someone's got a problem with it, that's their problem, not mine.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So I remember running and it was like this real breakthrough of tears when I got to like this middle bit. I had like listened to really incredible album, and album's got no lyrics, no nothing. It's just like house, but it's more like Afro funk.
And oh, go on, give us the name. Sounds great.
It's called Black by Collot de Song. And I still listen to it to this day. And every time I listen to it, I just like smile because I'm like, oh, this is how Ultra Black was born. And I listen to it at the end. It's 45 minutes long. And I listen to it at the end of like most of my marathons because I know I'm like, okay, get me to the end, Kilo. But yeah, this real breakthrough. And I was like crying my eyes out in this forest, like crying. And it was more just like tears of joy, happiness. I'm like, it's also like grief.
Big
sadness,
release.
Big, huge release. And I was like, oh God, like, what was that? I know you feel alone and it's isolating, but you can do it. Like, let's just go. And I was like reaching out to my friends. I was like, I want to just share this feeling. Who wants to come on a trail run? And obviously, like, response was like, no. And I was like, kill that dream. Managed to get some gals together and we ran through Epping Forest. And it was incredible. There was no intention for Ultra Black to become like this huge thing. It was just more for us to come together during a really hard time in the world, especially as Black women as well. You know, we go through lots and it was just nice to feel seen, feel comfortable. It's a safe space. We can be, we don't have to watch the way we talk. People, we all understand everyone's issues here. So I was like, okay, let's do it again. And it was no like set weekly things out when I feel like it. I'll give you the bat signal. So did another run in Crystal Palace, which is like, you know, a nice mix of road and some trail. Just beautiful scenes. And I remember from there the conversations that were happening afterwards. And I was sort of, there was like this click, like, I think this has to be something now. Because
what did you hear?
It was just different conversations about like sense of being and even it's like gender identities in sport. And how people feel in the workplace to cute running outfits. And it was just like, I just remember looking at everybody and how no one was holding back. And, you know, there's laughs and there's people being like, angry and upset. And it was just like, yeah, I'm definitely, this is a thing. This is a space. This is, and we, safe spaces, that word gets thrown around a lot. This is actually a safe space. I'm going to have to make this a thing. So I just posted a picture on Instagram. I was like, okay, let me create a new account. And then Ultra Black is obviously like, I want to run an ultra one day. But now I know that I don't have to do it alone. I have like a whole community who are going to support me to do that. But we can all support each other. And Ultra Black is not for ultra runners. It's for anybody who wants to feel alive in the nature. Nature is so beautiful, and it saved me during such a hard time. And then from me putting that Instagram out there, the response of people wanting to come down and join, and it was like I didn't have to explain myself, because people who are in marginalized groups, it's not easy just coming out and saying this is a space only for, you know. And it's not because we want to be divisive, and it isn't divisive, and the right people understand that it's not. So yeah, it got good feedback, obviously some bad, but it's serving its purpose.
Absolutely. And yeah, especially as you say, that vehicle in creating that, not just a space, but a space that needs to be created in order for women to, in order for Black women and non-binary people to get those benefits from being in nature, especially if you live in urban areas, especially if you are kind of surrounded by brick and concrete most of the time, all those benefits from being the countryside that, you know, you live in this country, like that's yeah. for everyone to enjoy.
Yep.
And what do you think it was specifically about? You say that time in nature saved you. What comments did you get from other people about how beneficial it was to be sort of in the countryside and around all this green space?
Someone made a comment that they enjoyed seeing me smiling. And for me, that was huge, because obviously what I was going through, I was like, oh, wow, I was actually aware that I was smiling. And other people are smiling and people are happy and they're feeling joyous, even though we're going through a really hard time in life at the moment.
Yeah.
But it was still something that was keeping people going.
Yeah.
And this is out, even with running in the wider running community, when people are talking about, you know, running is the reason they got out of bed, you know? It's huge. Like, running is so much more than races. We had no races during the pandemic. Your running is your lifestyle now.
Yeah.
I like to think of it as, you know, zombie apocalypse one day. I'll be able to run some distance to get away. But
yeah. The pandemic really hammered that home yeah. for people. Yeah. Like, you've got to be strong for the end of the world.
Absolutely. But running is partly your lifestyle. And it's running is what you want from it, and it's yours. Like, you don't have to do it because you want to run really fast or run races. And that's what I really wanted with Ultra Black, and I feel like I'm achieving that. And yeah, it feels incredible.
So I wanted to kind of bring you back there on that point about why it is so important to have a safe and unique space for the group who attends Ultra Black Running. Have you experienced any challenges and setbacks in founding it and growing it, and what have they taught you?
Yeah, many, many setbacks. I think the first one was just the amount of backlash I received and wasn't ready for, because I was just trying to do something positive and I didn't really know how to feel about it or respond to it. And that was, that taught me a lot. And I feel like it made me a lot stronger person than I am. I like to think I'm quite resilient, but this one I'm now like hard as nails.
extra layer,
you know, and that was quite hard. And I wasn't trying to grow it into anything. I just wanted people to feel safe, mainly because of the experience I had, and I didn't want anyone to feel like that. So I just wanted to create a space, and you know, 30 years time, 40 years time, there won't need to be a space for Ultra Black, but it's more for building confidence. You know, people are now like confident enough to sign up for a trail race because, you know, you've got a group together and you know that races are not going to be as diverse, but guess what? We can start attending these races because we have to be the change if we want to see it, right? When these groups are created, all we need is support, because it's creating change for the entire world, not just us, right? But growing it, scaling it has never really been on the agenda. It has just naturally grown.
Mm.
In 5 years' time, I wanted to have a race to bring everyone together. We did it in year one. So that was like...
incredible.
Events is not my thing. event planning is not my thing. I've learned that and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
but it was beautiful. We brought the entire running community down. And
where was it?
It was in Kent, in Mopham.
Yeah.
And the goal was to try and get 50 black women to come along, and that was what happened. And just take them on a journey. And I had good partners to work with. And yeah, the feeling, I still can't really put it into words, but that's what I wanted. And then I think the entire running community got to see and understand what allyship is and how to support groups.
And can you almost paint the scene for me? Like, that's such a beautiful image. As you said, you managed to get a crew of 50 women to come and run. When you were kind of reaching the end of that, did you have a moment when you looked around and what was the setting like? What were the expressions on people's faces? I just really want to picture that scene.
Yeah, so I remember it was the end for me, because when I got there in the beginning, I was sort of like stressing, cause like, I just want everything to go well, nothing to go wrong. And for me, it was the end of most of the races. There's like multi-distances, so there's like 6K, 11K and 23. And for me, that was beautiful because of random numbers. And I love random things. And it was like, you don't know what to expect. How do you train for 6K? Who knows?
Yes.
How do you train for 11K? Who knows?
I like that. You know? Yeah.
So at the end, I remember people like coming in from their races, people like supporting one another. I had family there. I had like, and I think I was just looking around and it was just such a mixed crowd. Everyone from all walks of life. There were dogs there. There were children there. And it was people from all races, all backgrounds, all ages. There was house music, people were dancing, and I was just like, can you believe that we've got like my favourite songs happening? And you know, DJs, we have black women here, and I was just like, this is a rave, but we're running. And the food was incredible, and the sun was shining, and there was like not 1 ounce of bad vibes.
Mm.
And everyone was just laughing, and there was like slips and trips on the course. The course was hilly. People were like falling over. Got it all on Instagram. It was just so, just laughter and joy. And that is what trail running should be.
Yeah, I was going to say joy was the word that is definitely coming up for me when you were describing that. And so powerful that that's, you know, within, not sure if it's a similar place, but within a rural setting where what the year before you'd been made to feel like you couldn't take up space and that you weren't welcome, and how beautiful that you'd, I'm so sorry that you went through that and someone made you feel like that, especially at such a globally horrible time for everyone. And then on top of that, on top of the pandemic, the trauma, which I can only imagine after the kind of explosion of the Black Lives Matter movement. And I'm so sorry that someone made you feel like you couldn't go out and do this thing that was good for your body and your mind. It's infuriating, but how beautiful and powerful a kind of, I can't swear, can I, but what a beautiful fuck you. You know, like, I just, that's a really gorgeous scene. So you had a 5-year plan. You nailed it in one.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay.
What's next?
What do I do now?
Yeah. So the title of this podcast is Going for Goal. So can't let you go without understanding what are your next big things that you're shooting for. And let's start with Ultra Black Running.
So I think now with Ultra Black Running, we now know the trail space and we now know what we're capable of. And we now know how you can, you know, use movement for good. And I feel like it's unlocking some truths, I want to say. People are starting to realise, I think I can do a trail race, or I want to do a trail race. I would love to incorporate trail running when I go on holiday. I'd love to, you know. And I think there are some races that some of the members are going for this year and next. And I'm making sure I do everything that happens.
Yeah.
And for myself, is also, taking part in my first ultra, well, first official ultra.
When's that going to be?
That is going to be October this year. It's going to be in, I believe, Sussex somewhere. I haven't really read the details because I'm just like, the more I read, I'm going to be nervous.
So also remind for listeners, and actually me, shamefully, how long is an ultra marathon?
An ultra marathon starts from like 50 kilometres, just like 30-ish miles.
Mm.
Longest I would have run at once. So it's been a goal for such a long time. So I just said, you know what? Just train and see what happens. I'm just going to go for it. I did try it last year. Didn't get far. I went to Azores in Portugal.
Oh, yeah, those islands.
Went to an island, attempted a 50K there. I kind of knew this is a bit of a big goal. Went for it anyway. Didn't make the second cutoff point. It was the most horrendous journey to that cutoff point. Ran off course, fell in mud, you name it, it happened. But I was amazed about the amount of press I got from it because of my Instagram stories. Saved it as a highlight if anyone wants to go and have a laugh. It's all there, like raw emotion. I was like, feet submerged, all of that. So oh, I was like, God. Round two, we'll go again.
Yeah,
somewhere else in the UK.
So when your feet are soggy and submerged in mud, it's only an hour train home or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm really intrigued to ask about body image because you talked at the start there about 18, 19-year-old Dora feeling, you know, totally alienated and unhappy in her body, feeling like she couldn't be a runner. She wasn't fit because she didn't fit the correct mould. And you started talking to me about this journey of how running helped you feel more at home in your body kind of earlier on in your running career. Where are you at now with your relationship with your body and your self-love since you've been on this kind of massive running journey?
You know what? You know, body, I think body image is always going to be a topic of discussion. And sometimes I feel like we'll never be at peace with it. But I definitely go through very long periods of time where I am at peace with it. I no longer train to look a certain way, like aesthetic. All of that stuff is way out of like my thought process now. And I think that's because I know what I'm capable of. And I have to be grateful, like our bodies are such incredible things. They're very precious, most expensive things we own, you know, and they're going to fluctuate. Your body weight, your body is going to fluctuate throughout your life. And especially as a woman as well, it's going to literally fluctuate for your whole life. So be at peace with it. You know, it's not easy. It really isn't. But I found like dressing, the way I've dressed, and I love bold clothing. Even I'm plain clothes today. I love wearing prints, loud colours.
Yes, there's some amazing looks at a Nike event recently. Yeah,
and for me, I'm like, because, you know, and you can see all of my curves or, you know, like, because obviously I used to worry when I was younger, like, oh, I have really thick thighs and like my boobs are really big and all of that. But I'm like, nope, I have a good sports bra. That's what I invested in. Good sports bra, good leggings, you know, and the rest is like whatever. Runners come in all shapes and sizes.
Absolutely.
And I feel great. I feel powerful in my body. And I know it's not easy, but we have to love it.
And running helps you with that.
And running absolutely helps me with that. And not because, yes, it keeps me fit. It's because I feel like a bit of a Power Ranger when I'm running in my like loud clothes, you know?
Absolutely. I love the Power Ranger analogy. And it's like, it's something that you said earlier when you were talking. So I guess when you were talking about preparing for the ultra marathon and actually for that first marathon, you said something which is basically like, all you can do is train. And then was it left foot, right foot, repeat?
Yeah, left, right, repeat. That's literally what you're going to be doing. So
that's it, isn't it? And really that's the same approach that you have through running and kind of extending these races, going from being amazed that you've done 5K to doing an ultra marathon.
I know. I'm like, it's really hard to try and explain these things to my family because they're just sort of like, why do you need to run so far? I'm like,
why so far?
I just feel like I unlock new things, you know, and it's not in running. So I unlock confidence in different things and projects and relationships. And it's just, it just teaches you so much about life.
Totally.
You know,
and the way that you get to the next stage and the way that you get to a better place and the way that you achieve success, it is just left, right, repeat. That's all you can do, isn't it? Keep showing up.
Keep showing up, left, right, repeat, keep moving forward, and that's it.
Well, I think that is a really beautiful place to end. I'm grinning from ear to ear. You can probably hear it. You can probably hear it in my voice. But I think it was that scene you painted of your guys' race. Absolutely beautiful. Dora, thank you so much for coming on the Women's Health Podcast, Game for Gold.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been really enjoyed sharing my story.
Could talk all day.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, Dora, I am going to hand over to you to open the coaching clinic.
Exciting. All right, sweet. Let's go. So the first question is from Laura, who asks, I really want to like running, but I've never enjoyed it. What do you recommend? Okay, so for this one, you know, we always want to be doing things that we love. And I think try and find out what it is that you don't like about it and try and tap into that. Or, you know, really break it down. Make it fun. Make it your own. What ways can you make this run great? Is it running to your favorite coffee shop and rewarding yourself with like a nice coffee or cake? Is it running with someone that you absolutely adore and makes you laugh, and keeping it nice and short so you can have a good time and kind of forget that you're running but still doing something great for yourself? But yeah, just try and find ways to make it fun, and that way you'll start to enjoy it. Okay, next question. Aisha says, why am I always getting injured? Now, this is quite a common one and one I see a lot with people who start running out. I think speak to a medical professional, someone that can really tap into your movement history, your running history, because there could be some pre-existing situations there. Running comes of many factors. Many things make running straightforward and great. It could be down to the amount of time you recover in between runs. It could be the footwear you're wearing. It could be the amount of rest, sleep, even your nutrition. And I know when I first started running, I spiked my mileage up way too quickly, and then I started to experience injury. So it could be even that. But I definitely think speaking to someone that can really give you that insight into your journey and connect the dots, I feel like you can find a way to move forward with running and do it in the best way possible to prevent future injuries and create bulletproof bodies, you know. But yeah, speak to somebody and hopefully you get out on the road soon. Okay, final question. Katie asks, how often should I be running a week? That's also, I don't know. I think with this one, it'll be great to figure out what your goal is. Like, what do you want from running? Are you training for a race? Are you training for a specific distance? Also ask yourself, how much time can you commit to running in a week? I know when I'm training for races, I know I have to hit a certain amount of miles in the months. But when I'm not training for anything, I completely strip it back. How often should I be running a week? Once, twice, three times. It really depends on how you're feeling and what you're working towards, because running is yours and your running journey is really, really tailored specific to your life. So figure that stuff out and then everything else will kind of make sense. If it's just to move, maybe once, twice. If it's to train towards something, what's the best way to gradually build up? And I think I probably recommend speaking to maybe a running professional, or come and find me and I can help with that as well.
That's all from me for today's episode of the Women's Health Podcast, Going for Goal. If you enjoyed this episode, remember to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find the show. And remember to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. See you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.